Top 5 Face-Off contains adult themes and language that some people may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
He's Matt Hurst.
He's Matt Squirrel.
This is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world rankings of everything. What are we ranking today, Hurst?
Well, Squirrel, today we're going to be ranking the top 5 Christmas songs of all time.
I'll be right up after this.
There's more than 5, call Squirrel and Hurst. It's the top 5 face-off, actual facts. It's the top 5 face-off, facts are exact. Top 5 face-off, top 5 face-off, official world ranking. What's next, you decide.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night, rankers. Welcome back, and if you're new, welcome to the show. Squirrel, for any of our new rankers, why don't you tell them what we do and why we do it?
Well, Hurst, this is Top 5 Face-Off, the official world ranking of everything. Each week we choose a random topic suggested by our Patreons. We rank the top 5 and the worst things from that podcast. And then you, the rankers at home, go to our website, www.top5faceoff.co.uk, and vote for which of us is correct. Except this week, we're not doing a random topic because we forgot it was going to be December. We were going to be doing biscuits. We're doing Christmas songs instead. Biscuits is going to come in the new year. This is Christmas month, fuckers.
Yeah, it's our show and we like it that way, for anyone who knows the theme tune really well.
The second verse of the theme tune, which barely anyone gets to hear, yes.
We should play that at some point, make it a Christmas number one.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's a good idea, Hurst. It's not Christmassy, but I do have some sleigh bells. So hopefully you've already heard them at home, rankers.
Nice. Mm. So, well, obviously we never get straight to the point. What's been going on?
Let me tell you a tale about my son, Hurst. Uh-oh. My son is now 17. Like his mother, he wasn't really very good at cooking. And at some point, he's going to have to get good at cooking, because what if he meets a man or a lady that he wants to spend his time with for the rest of his life, and they're also not good at cooking? What are they going to do, Hurst? It would be a nightmare. So every Wednesday, he cooks. So today, we've got a bit of a list of things that he does which are worthy of mention. So, for instance, well, I think quite early on into this, he was making sausages and something else, and kind of left him alone for the bit where he gets the stuff out of the fridge and gets it ready. He was probably somewhere 14, 15, I reckon, when this happened. Anyway, he comes back into the living room after being on his own and quite suspiciously quiet for a few minutes, just covered in sausage meat, and goes, "Sausages are really hard to peel." Before you had to take the fucking bit of the outside off.
Christ alive.
Another notable time is when he needed to boil some water, so he used a Pyrex dish, just put it on the gas hob, turned it on, walked away for him, fortunately, because when it exploded, boiling water went all over the kitchen. So that was great. That was a new toaster, new weighing scales, and obviously a new Pyrex dish. Brilliant. And just today, Hurst, because I was watching the F1. Congrats to Lando Norris if you watched too. Spoilers if you didn't. And he made lunch. What did I want? A cheese and pickle sandwich. What did I get? Fucking cheese and gherkin sandwich, because he watches too much TikTok.
Goddamn. Goddamn Americans and their pickles. No offense to Americans. Fucking
Jesus Christ. So that's what's been going on. My son can't cook. What's going on your end?
Well, obviously, as we alluded to on the last episode, I have leveled up. I'm now 47. Oh, yes. So that was making me feel older, but it's also led nicely into what's going on. Mm. I decided on my birthday that I was going to do some hustling around town to try and find myself a studio space in which to paint next year.
Okay.
Because since moving to the smaller house, we do not have a studio space for me anymore. Mm. So I have been doing small acrylic paintings just on the kitchen table, but I want to get back to doing my big oils. So I thought, right, I'll pop into town. I went to see my nice lady, Ruth, who runs a gallery called Limited 2 Art, and said, "Hey, where should I find myself a space to paint in this place?" And she said, well, not this place, it's in her place, but it's in Retford. Mm. She said, "Okay, well, here's 3 ideas for you." Spout them off. And I went around and I saw all 3 places. And on the last one I went to, I was offered a space. It's like a double garage on an art complex. Ooh. And yeah, it's only £120 a month. So my overheads are not terrifying.
All right.
It means I do actually have to make a minimum of £120 a month to break even on the art, which has never been a thing before.
Makes sense. Come on, Patreons. Help Hurst out.
Going to have to start hustling a bit more. Got to get the websites finished, but I'm working hard at that as well. Anyway, so that's what's been going on. I have a space. I'm moving in January, and I'm super pumped about it.
Very exciting. If you'd like a painting by Hurst, you can find out how at the end of the episode. But not now, because that's not the order we do things in, and it will confuse me.
Anything been gripping your shit?
Anything been gripping my shit? No.
Yeah, I don't think a lot has been gripping my shit.
Go us.
Been getting angry about not being able to build a website the way I want to be able to build it.
But you're gripping your shit.
Yeah, I think I'm gripping my own shit.
Mm.
I feel like it's probably not the fault of the web builder sites. They're successful for a reason, and I'm unsuccessful for a reason. So I'm really gripping my shit this week. Oh, but I'll tell you what else has been going on. Carly dyed her hair. She's now a redhead.
Oh.
So I'm totally seeing a redhead, which is cool.
God damn it. Why am I not? This is ridiculous. Wife. Yeah. I know you listen to this. Wife. Come on now.
Yeah, Carly has laid the gauntlet.
But she's also not very well, I hear.
That is true. She is poorly again.
Just related to being a redhead now.
No, I don't think so. Although she was at the hairdresser's for about 8 hours, so she could have caught anything there. Anyone could have come in and had a normal haircut.
But did they dye each hair individually?
I don't know how they do it. They sit and they chat and 8 hours pass like a working day. I go to the barbers and even if I'm having a haircut and a beard trim and a little bit of shave and a hot towel and doing that bit where they do my eyebrows because I'm an old man and they're getting out of control. They might even wax my nose and my ears. I mean, if I have the full works at the barber, I would not expect to be there for more than an hour.
Yeah, that seems like a shockingly long amount of time to be at the barber. An hour, I mean. Not eight.
Yeah.
Eight is...
But, yeah, anyway. But in her defense, she looks hot.
And we look rough as fuck. So this is perhaps why.
Yeah. Winning.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Hurst, we have got so many comments from last episode.
Blimey.
Would you like to hear some? Shall we crack on in?
Of course.
No order to these, so let's just go. First vote is for me. You can really tell which one of you uses a kitchen and which one of you likes cake. Easy win, and yes, a Madeline is terrifying. Side note, you could use a melon puller to make balls of cake and have snack-sized bits of cake, negating the need for a fork. That's from Money Slinger.
Shut up, Money Slinger.
I have actually seen those little cakes on a stick.
Don't try and validate melon ballers.
No, they are terrible. Next up, the pepper cane on did it for me. Also, I totally agree about the cheese grater. A great work, squirrel. That's from Jazzy. Goddess Jasmine. Thank you very much, Jazzy. Next up, one for you, Hurst. Squirrel stuff is cool, but Hurst won't cost a kidney, so it's Matt H. this week. I'm now excited to see bonus butter making and caking icing content. That's from Kern. Thanks, Kern.
Nice.
You will not be seeing. I mean, can you ice cakes? You're an artist. Does that mean you can ice a cake? I don't know how these transfer.
Yeah, I reckon. I reckon I'd be good at that.
Nice. I reckon you should do that. Draw a fucking great picture of your face on a cake.
Yeah, nice. All right, I'll get onto that.
It's a vote for you, Hurst, but the comment just says slim pickings this week, huh?
Great comment. Putting us in our place.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we didn't expect it to be a contentious episode, but I think it might be the most contentious episode we've ever had.
Yeah.
And the votes, we're all over the place here. The next one is one for me. I don't normally vote because I'm too lazy / forgetful, but I was compelled to this week, brackets Fortnite, because of how much Hurst fucked it. I mean, a fork. What was he thinking? That's from Jones. Thank you, Jones. I agree.
It's the Squirrel Fan Club all coming in.
Oh, excuse me. Well, let's quickly talk about the person that's never voted for anyone but you. You had me at spatula. Most excellent episode, chaps. The tension was palpable. The cake reference is plentiful. And Hurst is clearly the winner here. But aren't we all winners as we stab, scoop, slice, whip and stir our forks on the daily, either in the kitchen or the garden, whilst knowing we have the potential to rule the ocean? Love from Rachel, who never votes for anyone except for you.
Man, so she should. Spatula was right.
A vote for Squirrel. This is me reading it. A vote for Squirrel. I have the Oopfield and it's fantastic. The can lid remover is awesome and I have seen it in action. I won't be spending $15,000 on one though. Keep up the good work from Kovac. I was sat next to my wife in the car and she was listening to that episode as you were talking about it. It's costing me 15 grand. Get me in trouble. Dick.
Oh, it was 15 grand.
It was not 15 grand. Yo, Dav Paz here. Voting for Squirrel this week as the cheese grater swung it for me. I am a proud owner of the Oop Field, and I'm astonished that it's not the standard. Its design is greater than all the rest. Love and hugs, big meat lover. Dav Paz. So thanks, Dav Paz, and well done for actually putting your name on something.
And listening through to the all-important outtakes, because your big meat thing didn't come through to the outtakes.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. After the theme tune, though, I think the outtakes is the second most enjoyed bit of our show.
Yeah, probably right.
Team Hurst, for me, the fork is the best kitchen implement because it's basically four tiny swords working together like a culinary Avengers team from Barely One Good Leg. Thanks, Barely One Good Leg. Thanks for writing in.
I reckon that might be Carly. I think basically Carly and my friends vote for me and then everyone else votes for you.
No, Carly's a bit further down.
Is she? So Barely One Good Leg because she's been hobbling around with her torn calf muscles.
Oh, maybe it is. Well, then we've got an interesting comment coming up. A vote for me. The number one for this episode was the same as the Carr versus Penny Farthing episode, but in reverse. Anyway, all Squirrel's choices were better, but I do really like Kate. There's Ohio. Thanks, Ohio.
Yeah, Ohio.
Oh, yes, here we go. This is the one I thought was from Carly Hurst. It's a vote for you. And it says, I love the way he forks.
That is controversial. That's as controversial as your 15 grand. Like, I've not been forking anyone else's cake, all right? Just putting that right out now.
All right. Well, let's move swiftly on. A vote for Hurst. There is a delicate beauty in the simplicity of choices. Clean, efficient, direct, no nonsense. An absolute triumph of the everyman, taking us back to the core of what it is to be a person, just living their life, one step at a time, using a fork, not thinking about the implications of handling what must have been the greatest leap forward in evolution for the human race. Well done, Hurst. You have my love, admiration, and heartfelt thanks. From Trooper. P.S. Was that positive enough for you, motherfucker?
Yes, right. I mean, it dipped off at the end, but for the large part, yeah. Absolutely.
I think you accused Trooper in the previous episode of not being very kind.
Yeah, he was pretty rude though, wasn't he?
Yes, not this time though. So thank you, Trooper.
Obviously listening more carefully this time.
Or he just wanted to make a joke about swearing at the end and so had to choose you. I don't know.
Well, whatever it takes.
I do think the canopy is amazing, but I'm a massive fan of cake, and this being season two, the season of Hurst, there's no denying that his list is edgy squirrels. With all its cakey goodness. Also, my granddad took some of his finger off with a mandolin slicer, so you're right to be wary of them horrid things. That's from The Vision, who apparently I think is just going to vote for you every episode. Fair enough. Keep it up.
Very, very clever and good looking though, isn't he, The Vision?
Continue the streak, as it were. First for the win. That bloody can opener will never win anything from me. From Anonymous, who could that be? Your wife potentially talking about how well you fuck. My wife just criticizing my purchasing. Thanks, honey. And then finally, told you there was a lot, vote for me. Quite surprising that Hurst loosely knew at least five kitchen implements. Not at all surprising that all five led to cake. I wish I could measure my pepper output in teaspoons per second. Squirrel, you're a goddamn genius, man. That's from Matt and Laura.
I can't believe they vote together. Laura knows about as much about a kitchen as I do.
Plus, I only get one vote. Do I add an extra vote on for that? Because it's Matt and Laura.
No, because if Laura was actually voting, there's no way she'd have voted for your nonsense. She'd have voted for all the cleaning and the materials in the kitchen. She's an avid cleaner. She loves it.
Like the
moniker of their flat.
But not hateful, presumably.
Not hateful, no.
Oh, good. So you ready for the results?
Go on.
Who in it? I got 18.
Fine.
You got 20.
No way!
There he goes. It's the season of Hurst!
It's the season of Hurst.
Do you have any idea what your top five was?
Yes.
Then at number five, we have the Electric Whisk. Then at number four, the Piping Bag. At number three, the Silicon Spatula. Number two, the Chef's Knife. This week, at number one, the greatest kitchen implement is the Mighty Fork.
Yeah, there we are. It is official, Hurst. This is official bullshit. We move on from our most contentious episode to one that surely, at this time of goodwill to all men, and presumably women, is going to be less argumentative.
Let's find out.
Hurst, it's time to flip the coin of destiny.
Excellent.
Heads for Hurst. Scrolls have tails. Let's go. Oh, it's heads for Hurst. It tried to be tails, then it fell off my desk and I caught it. Heads for Hurst.
Ah, there we go. It was destined to be. Number five for me is Driving Home for Christmas by Chris Rea. The song equivalent to a cup of mulled wine, all part of the build-up to Christmas. Best song for feeling festive in the car. A classy take on the anticipation, rather than the bollocks cashing in on popularised nonsense like only three more sleeps. Fuck you, Leona Lewis, you're hot and incredible singer, but that was bollocks. Driving Home for Christmas, Chris Rea. You have, I believe, an interesting fact about Chris Rea and that song. Do you want to hit us with that?
Yes, and now that he's retired, I think it's okay for me to tell people. My father used to work as someone that restored racing cars. Chris Rea, every January, he and Chris Rea went out to look at a car to see if Chris Rea wanted to buy this new racing car, which he funded entirely. The royalties he got in December from Driving Home for Christmas.
Best job ever.
What, sitting doing nothing? Yeah, correct. Just
driving around in your race car until January when you go and buy a new one.
New race car because certain songs come on the radio. Brilliant.
But it is a banger. It's one that actually Carly and I have when we were first together. It was just kept coming on when we were in the car together, so it sort of became our Christmas song. I liked it anyway, but now I like it extra. So, number
but
five.
You did that come out? Like 81 or something?
I don't know. I didn't look at when they came out.
Ah, doesn't matter. Not important. Oh, robot voice. No, I won't robot voice it in. I've got short enough time to do this fucking episode as it is. Right, moving on. Number five for me. Merry Xmas, Everybody by Slade is what I went for. Hurst, 1973. Noddy Holder and Jim Lee wrote this one down. You know what it is. It's the glam rock stomper, right? Where he goes, it's Christmas! And then, what's he say at the end? Hit it, kids! Or, come on, kids! And then,
come on, you lot, I think you're fine.
Come on, you lot! Oh, brilliant. Yes, and it's got a key change as well, which is probably because of the kids, but it doesn't matter. Still technically a key change. I'm taking it. Drink. Yeah. Number five. You all know it. That's not going to be the case for all of my songs. Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks.
No contention there, so number five has gone off without any kind of tension between us. Happy days. At number four, I have chosen Stay by East 17. Just the huge balls to crack out a power ballad as your Christmas release is really what won Brian Harvey and his team Who Take That Chums the number one for that year, and a nostalgic place in my heart. If you listen carefully, you can actually hear them grabbing that bit of air just above their heads and pulling it down to their chests. You know what I'm talking about. Stay away. Yeah. Don't think I could take the pain. Won't you stay another day? Classic boy band move for power ballads and romance songs, but Stay, E17, number four.
See, I didn't like Stay by E17. Why do you like it, though? What? It's saturating, like your most hated Spice Girls songs.
No, but it's in the same way that I used to love Band-Aid and now I really hate it.
Mm.
I used to hate Stay when I was at the age when I hated E17 for just being E17. But now they're just nostalgia. And if you think about it, it was towards the end of the period when it wasn't a shoo-in that it was going to be reality TV or then onto social media that was going to be Christmas number one. It just won it in its own right, and I have some respect for that, but also it cracks me up, and now I kind of like it.
Oh, fair enough. I know a fact about this one as well.
Go on, man.
It wasn't originally going to be released at Christmas time. It wasn't a Christmas song. They just suddenly realised that it had a chance for Christmas number one. And put the bells at the end that go ding, 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 ding. And that's it. That's the only Christmas bit in the entire song.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just a song, which is fine.
Massive balls, I say. And like, just going, right. we're good enough that we don't need to sing about Christmas. I mean, they weren't.
Yeah.
It turned out that they were.
I mean, I think Mad World was the year after, so.
Yeah.
All right, cool. My number four. I see. No one's going to have heard of my number four. It's called Fairy Tale of New York, and it's by an Irish group called The Pogues.
How's you spell Pogues?
P-O-G-U-E-S.
Nah, never heard of it.
No, right? Let me try and describe it for you, Hurst. It starts off as just a man singing. He's either a cappella or he's only kind of got one instrument in the background. But anyway,
it's a piano.
You know what the fucking Pogues is in the Fairy Tale of New York. Of course you do. It's probably on number one if you look at lists made by lesser rankers. I think everyone would have this or maybe Mariah Carey at number one. Fairy Tale of New York is a fantastic song in its own right. And I've always liked the Pogues, weirdly, and I don't really know why. And or how that happened, but from a young age I was listening to things like Turkish Song of the Damned by the Pogues. I really liked this one. But yeah, Fairy Tale of New York, obviously a banger, obviously a classic, has some rude words in. People got upset. Oh, they took out the word faggot and now I don't like this song anymore. What is wrong with you? How is that the human reaction? Anyway, that aside, yeah, great song, excellent drumming as well. If you listen, drumming so fucking clean you can eat off it. Number four, Fairy Tale of New York.
It's the only thing off of the Pogues you'd want to eat off, though.
They got cars big as bars, they got rivers of gold, but the window's right through you, it's no place for the old.
Yes, no, it's a great shout, and it's not a cappella, he sings with the piano at the beginning.
Yeah, he's a cappella, isn't he? Yes.
Yeah. Good, cool. No, so far, no quarrels.
Mm.
My number three is Merry Christmas, Everybody, by Slade. So we obviously discussed this a little bit already. Noddy Holder screaming, it's Christmas, suddenly just makes you seven again. It's raucous and loud and fun. It just reminds me of when I used to be genuinely super excited about the whole thing. From the golden age of Christmas songs before it was all this predictable nonsense.
Mm.
I feel like that was a golden time for Christmas.
What, 8 years before we were alive?
It's like when your nana says the old ones are the best and she's up there rock and rolling with the rest.
It's true. I also like the fact they worked in that if you get smacked on the head by your toboggan, then you've been slayed. Come on. Brilliant.
Yeah, that is a brilliant song. It makes me feel like a kid. There are very few of those. I mean, you hear them over and over again, but that one, you can't help but smile and just think, yeah, that's when Christmas was so exciting.
It's Christmas! Come on, you lot! It might be, although there's probably going to be some contenders, but I think it might be the best one to just hammer out when you're drunk in the pub at Christmas time and it comes on the radio, the stereo, whatever they're doing. To sing along to when drunk, I think that might be high on the list of best Christmas songs.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, obviously, the It's Christmas shout at the end is what makes the song. And whenever they're using it on adverts, they don't make you go through the rounds and rounds of the
they just give you at the that end. Bit.
They just give you that bit and you're like, yes, satiated.
All right. My number three is a new song. It's only 3 years old. It came out in 2022 and it was written specifically for the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special movie. And I heard it. I'm like, what is this song? And I probably Shazam to look it up. And it was brilliant. It is I Don't Know What Christmas Is, brackets, but Christmas Time Is Here by Old 97s.
Out on the third planet closest to the sun, there's a special celebration and it sounds quite fun. A jolly old fellow brings toys to everyone on a holiday they call Christmas.
I Don't Know What Christmas Is, brackets, but Christmas Time Is Here by Old 97, which is absolutely not going to fit in the voting box on the website, so I don't know what I'm going to put in there yet. But have you seen the Guardians of the Galaxy Holiday Special, Hurst?
I have not.
Very unlikely you've heard this song. It's a song about someone not from Earth, in fact, trying to describe what Christmas is. And they're like, Santa's like a burglar because he keeps getting to people's houses. And if you haven't been good, he'll shoot missiles at your toes and shit. And he has a flamethrower to roast your nuts. The absolutely epic line, Mrs. Claus works the pole. Just one of my favorite things. But it's a genuinely fun and catchy song. And the Old 97 are like an old rock band, I guess. They got a big old break with this, I'm sure. It's just a brilliant song, and I love hearing it. It's on all of my Christmas list. I will blast it out of the car. Last year, I was blasting it out of my Ocado van. Yeah, love it. And you don't know what it is.
No.
Quite a few people listening probably aren't going to know what it is. Rain, 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 rain. Dear, 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 dear. I don't know what Christmas is, but Christmas time is here. Look it up on Spotify. It's right there. I don't know what Christmas is, but Christmas time is here. Rank us and go, oh yeah, this song is great. Number three, the Old 97s.
You know what, in keeping with the Christmas, as I said, Stay by 17, it was great big balls to crack out a power ballad as your Christmas number one. That there, that was great big balls, cranking out a song that no one's ever heard of as your number three all-time best Christmas song.
Quite a few people have heard of this one because they'll have seen Guardians of the Galaxy, right? It's number two is the one that we're taking a risk on, that trust me.
Shit. Cool. All right, I look forward to that then.
You know what Christmas is, but Christmas time is here. Ho, 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 ho. Earthlings are so weird. I don't know what Christmas is, but Christmas time is here. What the heck's a turtle dove? And who lit up that deer?
My number two, conversely, is not taking a risk. It is Last Christmas by Wham. Oh, nothing says dude. Christmas more than a song about heartbreak that still has you reeling 12 months later. George Michael's gift-wrapped emotional devastation and synth-pop sparkle. And we happily sing along to the misery every single year. Recent years have seen, of course, the introduction of Whamageddon, where as soon as you hear the song, you lose.
Mm.
And if you don't hear it, you win. To be honest, so if you're playing along this year, assuming that Squirrel is going to be inserting these songs.
Well, I was just about to ask, should I not put it in the background there?
No, maybe
I'll put
it
not by Wham. Oh, you reckon we're just going to fuck Wham again for all the listeners?
Yeah.
All
right. Christmas.
The rules of Whamageddon, rankers, are that you post on your socials that you have lost and why. So make sure you mention Top 5 Face Off in your social. All right, thanks. Carry on.
Cool beans. So if you're playing along this year, you know, sort of apologies, but now you get to listen to it. You've been depriving yourself of one of the all-time greats, so actually, you're welcome. Feel free to play it every day from now until Christmas and stop living in fear.
There you go. Right. I lost Whamageddon back in Friday. So didn't get too far. What did I get? 4 days in.
Yeah.
5 days in. Friday was the 5th. Cool. My number two is by Frisky and Manish.
What?
You may also have heard of it because it was by Scott Mills and his Pigs in Blankets. In 2020, Scott Mills got a load of people who had written popular Christmas songs together, and they tried to work out what the perfect Christmas single was. And that's the name of this song, Perfect Christmas Single. They got like Noddy Holder was in there, Tim Minchin, I think, lots of other people. And they went through the process of writing this song and they wanted to call it Perfect Christmas Single. And it's about how much like George Michael, presumably someone was now single at Christmas time. They didn't let it bother them. They were going to have a really, really good fucking time anyway. Perfect Christmas Single, right? Clever.
Nice.
It's so much fun as a song. It is like hitting every single Christmas cliche it can, but it's still a really fun song. And it contains the word for the bridge, you're frankin' sensational. Ranking sensational. Oh my god, it's so good.
That's got Tim Minchin written all over it, that bit.
Yes, absolutely has, hasn't it? Yeah, it's a great song, and it is genuinely my second favourite Christmas song. I love it a bit, and I will play it a lot.
Yeah,
number two. Perfect Christmas Single by Frisky and Manish.
I'll look both of those two up, I think.
The Frisky and Manish version is on Spotify. It isn't the same as the Scott Mills version, which you can get free from the BBC, but of course they're not allowed to make a profit off of that. But yeah, Scott Mills and the Pigs in Blankets. If you search Perfect Christmas Single, eventually it will come up after other people trying to write lists, which aren't, of course, official world rankings. They're just chances fucking chatting shit, basically.
Maybe the Oxford graduates.
are they the anti-mouths? The Oxford graduates are dumb now. And actually, unless this goes without tape, no one's going to know what we're talking about. Because there's no way that fucking bit is taking the vape out of the show.
No, good call. That's just for us. Fantastic. So we've gotten down to number two. Before we hit the giddy heights of our number ones, of course, it's time for our worst. Now, I had to listen to a few things. I had to try and figure out what was the worst. And after I got to my third song, I needed Listen No More because I had just played Mistletoe by Justin Bieber.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets, spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe.
Fuck me dead. Mistletoe is utterly hateful, a twee Gen Z pandering pop wannabe R&B cash grab that rhymes anything with anything and hopes that no one notices. So let's pop the bonnet and survey the damage. Opening line, it's the most beautiful time of the year. Off to a bad start.
Well, that's fine. What's wrong with that?
It's going to come like seasonal boilerplate Hallmark reject. It's the most beautiful time of the year. Christ. Nothing new there. Nothing original. Hasn't taken a second to come to that first line. Second line. Lights fill the streets, spreading so much cheer. Definitely written by a 5-year-old with a deadline, that one.
It does rhyme, though.
Yeah. And that's where the rhymes stop. apart from the going into the chorus, because loads of stuff rhyme. I should be playing in the winter snow. Why, dude? You're 17. But I'm a bee under the mistletoe. Fuck off. I'm a is not a word. It's just lazy text-speak cosplay nonsense. And it's the very epicenter of the whole song. I'm a bee under the mistletoe.
Oh, right. I thought you were saying I'm a bee, like buzz, buzz, buzz under the mistletoe. And it was a clever thing for also Bieber.
No. What he means is I'm going to be under the mistletoe.
I will be located beneath the mistletoe, ladies. Come along. And unfortunately, there will be fewer billions.
But he's gone with I'm a bee under the mistletoe with you, shorty, with you. Because, yes, nothing says Christmas like appropriated R&B slang from a Canadian teenager.
Yes.
And then the rhymes continue in the heroic struggle with everyone's gathering around the fire, chestnuts roasting like hot July. Doesn't rhyme.
Ooh, that does not rhyme.
Also, July. What's that got to do with roasting chestnuts? There's literally no December imageries left. My favourite one next. Word on the street, Santa's coming tonight. On Christmas? No shit. That's the word on the street, is it? Santa's coming tonight. I should be making a list, I know. Once more, you're 17, mate. Why are you making a list? A, why are you making it? And B, why are you making it on Christmas Eve when he's already out flying? Basically, I'd listen to the whole of Spice World album again rather than listen to this song once more.
Oh, well, there we are. So you didn't like it then?
I fucking hated it. He made me so angry. I hate Justice Bieber.
Right. Now, if you stop listening at the third song, I wonder if your fourth song was 1989's Christmas Effort from New Kids on the Block. Oh, yeah. Funky, funky Xmas.
Ho, ho, ho! Oh, little train. My little elf. Another great Christmas.
Ah, man, it's boring. It's boring. Same thing every year.
So let's have a funky Christmas.
Go on down. Let's go. Come on. Come on.
Uh-huh. Ho, ho, ho!
Hey, where's that beat coming from?
Check it out.
Fucking hell. It deep chart over here, but it didn't do very well, which means not a lot of people, lucky for them, have fucking heard it. But I remember someone, it was at a school disco, it got played, and everyone was just kind of watching the name of fuck is going on. And I think whatever DJ they had hired for such a thing just saw the words New Kids on the Block and thinks, oh yeah, young people like New Kids on the Block because they did Hanging Tough. Legitimate banger, by the way.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah. Funky Funky Christmas is not that. I take it, have you heard it?
No.
Let me play you a little. The rankers at home will be hearing this already. I'm going to play Hurst a little so he hears it. Here we go. Funky Funky Christmas going on. Not fucking kidding, that's actually a song.
That's god awful, that is.
Properly god awful.
It doesn't make me as angry as Beaver, though, because at least that's kind of, you know, of its time.
Mikey, if you heard all the words first, it starts off with Santa apparently singing to the new kids on the block, and yeah, it's properly shit. Let's have a look at some lyrics. Well, it starts off by saying,
let's pop the bonnet.
Let's pop the bonnet on these lyrics. They're going to celebrate Christmas with rhyme. No, with a rhyme, actually. Okay. And then they go through the names of the band. Danny D, Are You Ready? Ready as I'll ever be. Who else is it? Joey Joe, Jordan and John. Right. They have a funky, funky Christmas going on. I swear we got ourselves a party here. Girls on the floor. Those are two separate lines in this song. We got ourselves a party here. Girls on the floor. One has four syllables. The other one has, I swear we got ourselves a party here. Fucking hell. Ridiculous.
Rankers can't see, but I am shaking my head in dismay.
As you should be. I saw a sight you just wouldn't believe. St. Nick by the fireplace, dusting off his head with a frown on his face.
Fucking hell!
That's rubbish.
It's god awful. I'm throwing down my phone in disgust.
That is two absolutely dreadful, rubbish songs.
Properly shit. Don't listen to them, Rankers. Listen to these.
So, for me, my number one is The Mighty Fairy Tale of New York by The Pogues and Kirsty MacColl. A chaotic duet between two people who absolutely should not spend Christmas together, yet somehow deliver the most heartbreakingly hopeful anti-carol ever written. Right from the start, it's unconventional with that beautiful piano part, torn apart with a gruff Shane McGowan singing about how he's in jail on Christmas Eve because he got too drunk. And then the song kicks in and the love-hate fest begins.
Mm.
Basically, la la la, everything used to be amazing and now you suck, la la la. It's genius. Music and lyrics equally so. No attempt to be twee or cash in on popular culture. Just excellent. Best Christmas song by miles. You did mention, yes, of course, there was the controversial use of the word faggot, which was later edited out, and I don't have any problem with that because, you know, times evolve, but it was never intended to be or contextually implies any pejorative slur against the LGBTQI community, so I don't hate the song suddenly because of it, but I'm perfectly happy for them to have edited it and made it
chop
new.
Out old slut on junk as well.
Yeah.
I don't know what they put in instead. I think they might have done that first as well.
Yeah, I mean, for the radio edits, then that's like, yeah, you can't really talk about that, but that's probably not the same. It's not offending a vast swathe of the population.
What, half? You think half is not the same?
Well, no, it's only offending the old sluts on junk.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Not all women are on junk. Right. My bad.
And not all women are old sluts either. It's pretty specifically offending a very small group who, you know, right, probably aren't listening to our podcast.
Go off, slut queens. You do you. Keep at it. Don't you listen to Shane McGowan or the BBC. You be you.
Yeah, it's a great song. People love it for a reason. The reason is all the things I've said. It's two people going at it. It's almost like your voyeur's watching in on this conversation that's happening between these two drunken reprobates.
Yes.
Yeah. Would you like a fact, an estimated fact about
absolutely
the fairy tale of New York? Okie dokie. Fact. In UK Christmas polls over the last decade, Fairy Tale of New York appears in the top three around 68% of the time, making it the most consistently loved festive song in the country.
Ooh, yes. I reckon that's a good one. What's the next one?
Fact. The song was originally meant to be a duet between Shane McGowan and the bassist Cato Reardon, not Kirsty MacColl. They worked on it for over 2 years before bringing Kirsty in, and the moment she recorded her vocals, the producers instantly knew this is the version.
All right. Would you like to hear what's written in my notes for this song? Made by Jem Finer and Shane McGowan, this Irish folk style duet was originally meant to be sung by McGowan and Pogues bassist Kate O'Riordan, but Kirsty MacColl stepped in after O'Riordan left the band. Yeah, I think that one might be the true one.
Yeah, you fucking research.
I'll tell you what, the other one's very convincing, Hurst. Good job. Yeah, like,
thanks.
I bet that could also be true. Did you check it wasn't?
Yes, there's no evidence that that's true, but it probably would be if we
if
polls have been done, because it is a great tune.
Yes,
of course, no, it's more of our generation. I think I suspect the younger generations don't love it the same way we do.
Maybe, but Christmas songs do have the ability to transcend generation. I mean, you think about how rare it is to get a new one. Unfortunately, as you don't seem to like it, but Leona Lewis does seem to have managed that with, what's it called, Five More Days to Christmas or Eight More Days
Sleeps Till Christmas. That's sleeps what pisses me off. I hate that as a concept, like adults saying, oh, it's only three more sleeps. I'm like, no, it's three more days. Grips my shit.
Would you like to hear my number one?
That's the one, then.
My number one has always been Christmas Wrapping by The Waitresses. Like, the first time I heard this when I was a tiny little child in 1981, presumably, if I heard it straight away, this new wave classic, I'm reliably informed by the internet, it's great. Number one, Christmas Wrapping.
Christmas Wrapping by who?
The Waitresses. You do know it. You do know it. It's the one that goes ba da ba 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 ba.
Merry Christmas.
There you go.
But I think I'm missing out this year. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's that one. It's a story about a woman who lives in New York. She's fucking busy. She's got shit to do her. She hasn't got time for either Christmas or romance, even though she's trying to do the romance with this guy. But for various reasons, they can't just meet up for their first date. You know, the cars are breaking down. She gets sunburn in the fourth degree or something. And they can't meet until she spends Christmas on her own, realizes she doesn't have any cranberry sauce, and rushes to the only all-night grocery to buy some, and then there he is too. Ah, isn't that nice? It's not really, it doesn't sound like a Christmas song in a lot of ways, because it's very jazzy and, well, new wave, if I'm to believe. The vocals are completely deadpan by Patty Donahue, I am informed here. It just stands out as a really fun and really good song, and yeah, it has been my favorite Christmas song for as long as I remember. And fortunately for me, it's one that other people have heard of, even though you might not know it by the name. I'm sure if you're hearing it in the background right now, you're like, ah, yes, I know that song, absolutely. It's got a happy ending. Ah, it's like the opposite of Fairy Tale of New York, which goes the other way. It starts off happy and gets sad, and then, yeah.
I know, it starts off, like, sad and gets more sad, really.
It starts off sad and gets angry.
It's Christmas Eve, I'm in the drunk tank.
Yeah, that's true. The fucking second line is... First line is fun, because it's Christmas Eve. Oh, I'm a joke.
Starts off sad, gets angry. I'll talk to you about people who aren't really into Christmas.
But Christmas magic happens in Christmas Wrapping, Hurst. Yay! And she and the mystery man, I'm sure, are still happy today.
Yeah.
Would you like an estimated fact about Christmas Wrapping / The Waitresses as a band?
Fact me.
Fact! Well, often cited as one-hit wonders, The Waitresses had another hit with I Know What Boys Like. Not very good. I didn't really like it. There you are. Fact! Tom Cruise was originally going to be the bassist in The Waitresses, but in 1981, he was working on his first major movie role in Taps, so Tracy Wormuth did it instead. And she did a superb job, as you would have heard in the bass line.
Now, was he actually doing that in 1981?
Yes, I looked at
that. That's the question. The thing is, that was his peak, like, in the 80s was... peak Tom Cruise was basically the 80s through to now.
Sure, 81, though, he was...
81, early Tom Cruise, wasn't it? Mm. Yeah. You know what? I think that he would have probably, at that point, they've taken this job. No, it was they wanted Tom Cruise, but they couldn't get him.
Yes, I'm afraid you are wrong. Oh, I completely made that one up. Tom Cruise was indeed working in Taps, which was his first role in a major movie, sorry. But yeah, Tracy Wormsworth was exist. All the time. There was never anyone. The Waitresses, and they did have a hit with I Know What Boys Like.
There we are, that's our top five. At this point we would normally spin the wheel, but we are going to do another Christmas special in 2 weeks time. We're going to do the top five Christmas movies.
Yep, that is absolutely correct. And then after that, the Patreon special is going to be top five Christmas presents that we received that year, which could get us into trouble if we don't pick the correct ones from our other halves who listen, or your family members, if we give them the worst, and they're like, what the fuck? I thought you wanted, I don't know, tea kettle cozy.
We might need to come up with a sound effect for tactical rank warning.
Hell no. If it's your worst, you've got to stick to your guns first. Fuck you, wife. I hate that present you bought me. That might be what we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, Patreons will hear that for the low, low price, Hurst. Can you guess how low this price is?
I mean, considering what's on offer, it's got to be about 15, 20 quid a month.
It's only £1 a month, Hurst.
Get out.
Most people wouldn't even notice that leaving their bank account.
Jeez.
Amazing.
We should up that price apart from anyone who locks it in this month.
Ooh, interesting concept, Hurst. We may have to think about that. But yes, indeed, for £1 a month, you can join our Patreon. You can suggest topics for us to cover. You get bonus episodes. You get to hear stuff that we cut out of some episodes that is just too rude to put on Spotify normally, and things like that. And for £5 a month, that's all, Hurst, you could join the official supporter hub with such excellent people as Davpaz, Kovach, Meg98, and Goddess Jasmine.
No way, we've got a fourth official supporter. Oh, Goddess Jasmine. Welcome to the ranks of the official supporters hub.
Yes, Hurst, indeed. Four people in the official supporter hub. Woo! Only 16 more people could join until it's full, and no one else will be able to join and have their name read out.
Whoa. Wow.
That'll happen just soon. soon.
That's wild. That is wild. Since last recording, we have definitely added more stuff to the Patreon specials. I did my first bit of editing and realized what Squirrel goes through every week or every other week now.
You did, Rankers. If you want to hear it, pound a month. New theme it's a song. Work,
yes.
For the Patreons.
New theme song.
Yep. Just fucking excellent.
Yeah. Gave us much
by far joy. The best bit.
Yeah. Standard.
So there you are. If you want to join, patreon.co.uk, search for Top 5 Face Off. You can search for Top 5 Face Off in many places and you'll find us. Facebook, Blue Sky, the fucking internet, because we've got a website, top5faceoff.co.uk. Go there. Vote on your favourite Christmas song.
That is important. You do need to vote, and you need to do it within the next 7 days.
It's probably more like 10 now. I've changed some things. Hurst, do you know that we all know, of course, that some people listen and don't vote? And, you know, thanks for listening,
I
guess. Hurst, some people vote but don't listen.
Huh?
How do you feel about that? Some people visit the website but never download the episode.
In fairness, as you've said, there are two good bits of the show. There's the theme music and the outtakes. Mm. So
yes.
If anyone just wants to just vote, I get it. They don't have to listen to us for an hour.
I might start doing that.
I'm okay with it. Better that way around, because the votes are the thing that are allowing us to be a valuable resource for the world.
The official world ranking. We have talked about your paintings on the internet. If people want to go and see what's coming out of this new studio of yours next year, where should they go?
www.doghouseart.co.uk.
Yeah. Other than that, Hurst, let's park this one up in a lay-by and call it done.
Bring it home to land.
Please rewind this podcast for the next people that come along, and we will be back soon with the top 5 Christmas movies. See you later, Ruggers.
See you later. Love you.
Top 5 Face Off is presented by Matt Hurst and Matt Squirrel and produced by Powerstorm Awesome Fire Incorporated. For more details and to vote for a winner, visit top5faceoff.co.uk. Thanks for listening.
Hurst, it's time to spin the coin of destiny.
No, it's not.
Hurst, it's time to flip the coin of destiny.
Excellent. Anything been gripping your shit?
Must be gripping my shit. Well, being served a cheese and pickles sandwich with a... Well, is that roll, actually? Not a sandwich. That's not fucking... Wow. Could it be less interesting to see you in the fucking outtake? Jesus.
Number three, the everyone's favourite. Nope.
It's not everyone's favourite. It's not even your favourite. What are you on about? Beep. Some rankers aren't as smart as we are, though, Hurst. You know, some things need to be spelled out. I can give you a list of them from the comments.
Some early. Oxford graduates aren't as smart as we are. Are they, Amelia?
Oh, God. Shot fired. Where did that come from?
Only graduate I know from Oxford, in fairness.
God damn. Yes, fuck you, Amelia. Well, congrats on doing so well.
Yeah.
Now you're getting the piss ripped out of your shit podcast.
That's right.
Oh, Christ. Well, Kirsty McCall, I think, was lovely. But yeah, the lead singer of The Post, what's he called? Shane McGowan.
Shane McGowan.
He is a powerful-looking man.
Yes. He has a grubby chic, we'll call it.
God, fucking chic. Yeah, all right. He just looked like a crackhead before they were crackheads.
Yes, he is not keen on the dentist. And I think a lot of the newer ones are slowly dropping off.
Are you going to make me edit that? Fucking do it again. Fucking burp in the middle of a sentence and just expect me to deal with it.
I can't remember what I was saying.
See you later, Ruggers.
See you later. Love you.
No, wait, that's the waitresses.
Womp, 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 womp.
Top five face off.